Whoa, that was abrupt. That
What the
was supposed to be, it was supposed to be a fade into, but it wasn't. Hello,
Hi.
welcome to Hope for You. Today we're going to be talking all about why we need faith, and not only why we need faith, but how it actually unlocks our purpose in life from God. We'll talk
Wow.
about that in just a second. But first, hello, everybody. It's me, it's my
It's
wife,
me.
Emily. And Pastor John and Pastor Shanti are out of town and they're not here. So today you got us, and we're going to talk all about, again, faith and why we need it. And not only why do we need faith, but how it unlocks our purpose in life, our God-given purpose. And we're actually going to look at an example straight from the Bible. We're going to look at Abraham's
What?
life, and we're going to get there in a second, and I'm really excited about it. But
Let's say
first
hi to
things
somebody.
first, hello.
Hi.
So, watching, well, again, we're in my office, we're not in the studio, purely because for whatever reason, I think it's more comfortable for me. I also think I got it set up with this microphone and everything where it shouldn't be too big of a quality difference for you guys. And well, let's see. Purely because for whatever reason, I think so. You're gonna hear that echo in just a second.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We're in the future.
Hey, how does this work? How does what work, Chris?
How does this work?
You're on YouTube right now, where we're live.
Skylar is a technical magician and can do a lot of stuff with a lot of things.
See, amen.
Okay, let's say hi to people.
Well, go ahead. I'm
Okay,
stalling until
sorry,
you take
sorry.
over.
Okay, Miss Nancy is on. Hello, Kelly is on. Probably from, and I think she said she might have been driving. I thought she might be right down the hallway. Clarissa, hello. Chris is here.
Hi.
I think that's
So
it.
we've,
Him.
hi Kim. So we've got the camera over here, as well as OBS, which is the software that we use. But then we've got YouTube in the comments over here. So if we're like, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
But you're here, but really to us, you're here.
But really, to us, you're here in our hearts.
With Jesus side by side. Hey, also, if you're watching on or watching, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anything of the sort, even though those are the only two sorts. Oh, I guess we got the app. If you're listening on the Hope City Church app,
Oh, get that app.
hi. And make sure you go to YouTube and watch on YouTube and like it. Because guess what we did last week?
What did we do last
We
week?
hit 1,000 subscribers.
Yay!
So after a year and a half, almost 2 years, we went from like 260 subscribers to 1,000, and we're just going to keep going up from here.
Oh, yeah.
And in case anyone cares why it's important that we hit 1,000, now that we're at 1,000 subscribers, we can actually monetize our YouTube channel. Granted, most of what we put out is copyright anyway, because it's either like worship that we don't own or whatever. But Hope for You should be completely copyright free. So that
Yep.
means we can actually start getting paid from YouTube, from the world, from Google, the evil corporation that is Google.
Oh, don't say that.
Just
We take
kidding. Don't
it
take this down. We'll
down.
get paid by Google to preach and to talk about Jesus.
How cool is that?
That's very cool.
Wow. The air conditioning just turned off and it got like so silent.
Clarissa put money bags. You
Nah.
know, that was my nickname in high school. They were like, "Hey, yo, money bags." So anyway,
They're robots.
do we need to talk about anything else?
No, just we're so happy you're here. Make sure you give it a thumbs up. There's 12 people watching right now, so only 7 thumbs up.
Thumbs ups.
So there should be 12. And you guys can share it on Facebook right now. Let people know that we're live so they can hop on because we've got some good stuff. This is really going to encourage you, really going to help you. It seems kind of like a vague question, like, why do we need faith? But I think by the end of this, or I don't even think, I know that by the end of this, you guys will be encouraged and you'll be ready to like conquer the world and run
Amen.
through a wall.
Amen. Just don't run through my wall. I like my wall. But so we actually have a lot to talk about today. And knowing myself, this is either going to, I'm not going to get through it all, or I'm going to be done in about 20 minutes. So we're going to see how it goes. But if this is a long one, great. If this is a short one, double great. That means you can go pee sooner. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. But we're going to
I'm
jump in
just gonna
today
be.
and we're going to talk all about why we need faith. And I'm realizing right this second how cramped I feel. No, you don't have to move. I just need to move things. So we're going to talk all about why we need faith. And I want you to put in the comments right now why you think we need faith. Don't touch that, please.
Sound effects.
Oh, wait. Oh.
This is becoming like an ASMR video.
Welcome. Hang on. Welcome to Hope for You. Do you feel the tingles down your neck? Okay. Anyway, that was probably so loud.
I am never recovering from that.
So put in the comments, why do we need faith? Let's see. Nancy says we need faith because she's laughing over here. Amen.
Please stop. You're weird.
Please stop.
Oh no, Bethany. I couldn't even describe what's happening if I tried.
Hello, Bethany.
Oh, so weird.
Hopefully you guys know what ASMR is. If not, well, then I just look strange.
Just search it on YouTube.
So anyway, we're going to talk about why we need faith. Not only we need faith, but it, judging off the title, it unlocks hope and purpose into your life. Yes, that is a title completely generated by AI to give us the clicks and the views. I'm sure that was very loud. So
sorry, I don't know.
It's okay. So here's your answer. Why we need faith. You guys all put in faith to handle you. Ooh, okay. I'm putting you in timeout. You're in YouTube jail for a few minutes. But we need faith to actually be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So I know faith is like a general like buzzword. It's like a hot word in the church. Everybody's like, faith, 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 faith. You need faith. And then people are like, what is faith? Mm-hmm. I know I need it, but what is faith? We're going to talk about that today. You can also go back and look at old broadcasts. I hate that word, but I'm going to say broadcast. Old live streams. And you can see we've talked about faith before. Some of this might seem familiar to you. But some of it maybe won't be so familiar. So you need faith. I'm going to jump in now. This is official. We're starting right now. So the reason you need faith is that's how you actually are saved. And that's actually how you become filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. I also am realizing I don't have my physical Bible. She has hers. It counts. And I have my notes.
Do you want me to grab it?
Yeah, it's okay. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, and this is actually talking about how we are saved. We are born again through faith. So would you actually read? You can read it from your notes or however you want to. Oh, this is the NASB translation of the Bible, the 95, if you want specifics.
Okay. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Will you read it one more time, please?
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
So we see right here in the Bible that us being saved is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. It's given to us because God is so gracious. But in order to access that, you actually have to do it through faith. So you have to step into faith, and you have to believe that Jesus was here, that he was the Messiah, he was the Son of God, he died, and when he did that, he delivered you from your sins, and then now he's in heaven. You have to believe those things with faith. You have to believe it in your heart, and then you have to confess it with your mouth in order to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So not only that, not only does faith actually, that's the thing that helps you get into heaven. Like, faith is the vehicle that causes your salvation.
Yeah.
Faith also, once you're born again, is how you become filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So remember in the Bible it says, and if I just start talking too much, just jump in. Remember in the Bible it says, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said it's actually for their benefit, for our benefit. We're, what happened to the disciples is true for us, relevant for us. So he actually said it's for their benefit, for our benefit, that Jesus would die and go away because he's going to leave us the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, but in order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to do it by faith. We have to walk by faith. We have to believe by faith. We have to operate by faith in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at some Bible for that. So we're going to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. And would you read that again, please?
Yes. Galatians 3:14. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, us, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Amen. So through faith is how we actually receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that?
Super cool.
So this is just like the quick, what am I trying to say?
synopsis?
Sure. This is just like the skeleton of like what the meat of what we're going to talk about today is built upon. So I know we've talked about this stuff before. That's why we're moving kind of quick. And like I said, if you want to go back and watch, we have more in-depth teachings all about faith. Maybe in a minute when Emily's talking, I can find one of them and put them in the comments. But so not only are we saved by faith, we are filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, but you actually need faith to become aware of our right standing with God, and you need faith to properly approach his throne by grace with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So take your Bible that I know you have right now, especially if you're eating lunch. You probably have your Bible to the left of you and your lunch to the right of you.
Like everyone.
Like everyone. Duh. So take your Bible. We're going to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. And we're going to see how we actually need faith in order to become aware of our right standing with God. And we need faith to approach his throne mm-hmm. with confidence. So Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Would you please read that?
And if I'm looking down a lot, I'm looking at my phone or the notes. I'm not, like, just not paying attention. Just disclaimer. Okay, Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith.
Amen. Could you read that one more time? And I'm going to pull up in a different translation.
Yes. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith.
Great. Please stall or have anything you want to say, because I'm going to pull up in a different translation.
In the NASB, whenever the Old Testament is referred to, it's in like all capital letters. So, but the righteous man shall live by faith is from the Old Testament. So that is a promise of God that has been throughout the entire Bible.
Yeah.
That by faith we shall live. By faith alone we shall live.
This is true. Now we're going to look at it, and this is the Amplified Classic. We're still in Romans. I'll read it. We're still in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. But it says, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed. Sorry, I need to make this window bigger. That did nothing. Well, that still does nothing.
You want me to read it?
I'll just lean in. ASMR. Scribes is revealed both springing from faith and leading to faith. Disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wow, that made it worse to understand. What were you saying?
Just that we've been made just and upright by Jesus.
Mm-hmm. This is true. So let's look at another example. Let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 22, and this is going to be in the NASB, because that's what I have prepared, and that's what I personally like to read.
Yeah, that's fine.
So would you read Romans chapter 3, verse 22?
Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction.
Read it one more time, please.
Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction.
So by faith is how you know that you are righteous. Mm-hmm. It's by faith that you see that you're actually made one with Jesus whenever you become born again. And by faith, because you're righteous, you can actually approach the throne of God with confidence. Mm-hmm. Through his grace, you can approach the throne of God and you can make your requests known to him. Not only that, but faith actually empowers you to walk in divine health, prosperity, victory, and peace. I'm going to say that again. And if you could put that in the comments, that'd be great. Faith empowers us to walk in divine health, prosperity, victory, and peace. It's actually essential for living a life that pleases God. And it's essential for us living a life of divine purpose, right? If you want to live a life of divine purpose as a child of God, you have to be walking in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, faith is what sustains us.
Yeah.
That's cool. So faith sustains us. So even as we live and die on earth, faith is what keeps us aligned with his will. So I want to be aligned with God's will, and you do that through faith. And faith, again, is a broad term, but specifically faith in Jesus, or like we were just saying, faith in the fact that you are made righteous.
Yeah.
We're going to do this, even though I know everybody watching right now, I'm seeing who's watching, they know this verse like the back of their hand. But if you happen to stumble upon this and you haven't heard this verse, or you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you just don't know, we're going to touch it real quick.
Yeah.
So Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Yep.
And I have here in my notes, we're actually going to break down faith, substance, and hope. So Hebrews 11:1 says, Hebrews 11:1. I'm getting excited and tripping over my tongue. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Good job, honey. So,
faith, if you would you just read what I have written down there for faith, please?
So the term faith is a firm persuasion or conviction based upon hearing, also translated as belief or persuasion.
Yep. So faith is a firm persuasion or conviction based upon hearing. So that means it's also translated as belief or persuasion. So it's just what you believe. And then substance, would you read that as well?
Yep. The term substance is a setting under, a firm foundation, a confidence.
Mm-hmm. And I believe I read that out of NASB. I believe it's New King James that says substance, not assurance. So that's where substance came from, if you were wondering.
Mm-hmm.
So substance is a setting under, a firm foundation, or confidence. So assurance, you are assured in the things that you believe. You have confidence in the things you believe. You have confidence in the things that you are persuaded that is real. Mm-hmm. And then hope, I'll read that. Hope is an anticipation. Hope is an anticipation, usually with pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Read the next one, please.
A favorable and confident expectation having to do with the unseen and the future.
Amen. So we're going to read this verse one more time. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance or the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So when you have true Bible faith, you are actually living out the fact that you believe that Jesus is real, you believe that God is real, you believe that you are righteous through Jesus Christ, you believe in the things that you hope for that come from the Bible, you believe these things and you don't even only believe it, you are convinced, you are convicted, you believe, you are assured, everything that you could say, any of these words, you believe it down in your heart that Jesus is real, he loves you, he wants good for you, and you're walking in biblical faith. But to do that, you have to be faith, a firm persuasion or conviction based upon hearing, which we'll get to in a second, because remember what I said at the beginning. We're going to look at the example of Abraham's life. Hopefully we get through all that. Maybe we won't. But faith, a firm persuasion or conviction based upon hearing, and it's also translated as belief or persuasion. Substance, this is a setting under a firm foundation. It's confidence. So you have confidence in the fact that what you believe is true.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have hope, which is an anticipation, and it's usually with pleasure. It's favorable and confident expectation having to do with the unseen and the future. So when we're hopeful for the future, when we're hopeful for things like money, when we're hopeful for anything else good, joy, we see that biblical faith, hope's a good thing. And again, we've talked about this a billion, trillion times. So I'm
we're
just like
city.
Beating a dead horse. Or what's that term?
Yeah, beating a dead horse.
That sounded so wrong coming out of my mouth. But when you hope for things that are of God and then you believe without a shadow of a doubt that it's going to become true, that's biblical faith. Do you have anything to say to that before
nope.
I move on? Okay, so faith is a living forth. Faith is a living force that is God-inspired and God-given, and it's your key to unlocking the things of heaven. Sorry, whenever I start preaching or teaching, I used to get really nervous, and that's why I would like trip over my tongue, but now it's the opposite. Now I get really excited, and I realize I'm talking like this, and I'm going really, really fast because I just have so much I want to say, and then my tongue stops working. So that's what we're experiencing today. But faith is a living force that is God-inspired and God-given, and it's your key to unlocking the things of heaven. Faith is believing in your heart that something you can't see with your eyes is going to pass. Faith is believing that that thing you're waiting for, that promotion at work, whatever it is, that healing that's actually already yours because you're born again, is going to pass. And even though you can't see it yet with your earthly eyes, you believe that it's going to happen. Here is one of my favorite things to talk about. We're going to jump right here. I want you to just read that line, please.
Faith and fear?
Yep.
Faith and fear actually have the same definition.
Read it one more time, please.
Faith and fear actually have the same definition.
Mm-hmm. So faith is believing in your heart that something you can't see with your eyes is going to pass. Fear is believing in your heart that something you can't see with your eyes is going to pass.
Yeah.
They both are the same thing. Mm-hmm. When you're fearful of something, it hasn't happened yet, but for some reason, you're believing it in your heart that it's going to happen. This yeah. awful thing, this fearful thing is going to happen. And even though it hasn't happened yet, you believe that it's going to.
Yeah.
Faith is believing in your heart, even though it's something that you can't see with your eyes, it's going to pass. Going to come to pass. Faith is believing or lining up with the word of God. Fear is believing in the lies of this world.
Mm-hmm. Fear is like counterfeit faith.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times have you heard someone who confesses or has self-diagnosed themselves with anxiety, and they describe anxiety as the feeling of something bad is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I just always feel like something bad is about to happen. And that's the complete counterfeit that we're talking about, of having a persuasion of good, of hope coming to pass. That, I mean, imagine if all those people that said, I just always feel like something bad's about to happen, that they actually say, I feel like something good's going to happen today. Like, right. I just woke up and I feel like something good's going to happen. I'm going to actually, like, start doing that, because that is a complete perspective shift to wake up and say, I feel like something good's going to happen today.
Yeah.
And say it in the face of moments where it feels like bad things are going to happen. Like, you look at your checking account and a bill got taken out that you didn't remember, and now you're like, no money. And you're like, well, I still feel like something good's going to happen today.
Right. Yeah. That's yeah. awesome. So, that's really good stuff. So, faith is believing or lining up with the word of God. Fear is believing in the lies of this world.
Yeah.
So that seems kind of scary, because if it has the same definition, how do I separate the two?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to actually look at how you can build up your faith. We're going to look at how you get more faith. This is tricky. Hear what I'm saying for the purpose of this teaching, because we were all given the measure of faith when we were born again. I'm not saying that one person has more faith than another person. I'm not saying, like, your faith starts out here and then it grows to this big.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you get more revelation of the faith
yeah.
that you need? Comes, and we're going to look at Abraham's life, but it comes, well, let's jump to the scripture. I don't want to jump ahead. So go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, please.
You're doing great.
Thanks.
It's good stuff.
Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Would you please read that?
Yep. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ.
Yep. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. This is two things. One, your faith can be built up by teaching and preaching. You can hear the word of God. Your faith can be built up by hearing the Holy Spirit. Also, by hearing the word of Christ. We know that the Bible, I would pick up her Bible, but it's over there. The Bible is the word of God. It is God, right? The Bible is God's word printed. So whenever you read the Bible, you're actually hearing or reading
yeah.
the word of Christ. And then take that a step further. Whenever you read your Bible and then you read it out loud with your mouth, so you say, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not only are you reading the word of God,
yeah.
but then you're hearing yourself speak the word of God. And it's like this really cool cycle that happens that builds up your faith.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what we're going to do as an example from the Bible is we're going to look at Abraham and his life, because over 25 years, Abraham actually heard the covenant stated to him 9 different times.
Yeah.
So talk about building up your faith.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Abraham may have missed it sometimes, even though Abraham might have been like, I don't really know. He heard it 9 different times. And then at the end, we're going to look at how God actually talks about Abraham on the other side of it. So after these 25 years of the covenant being stated to him 9 different times, we're going to look at what God actually had to say about Abraham and his faith.
Yeah.
So I have...
Do you want me to read?
30, yeah. But I want to set them up for what they're in for right now. I have 30 different points that we're going to go through. And maybe we'll skip a few.
Yeah.
But basically, it's took the story of Abraham from the Bible and condensed it down to, like, the highlights. Or what is it called when you're, like, studying that program?
Spark notes.
These are the spark notes of Abraham's life. And you're going to see, and then I put, well, actually, to be completely honest, this was in my notes from a long time ago, but I feel like it's from school. Mm-hmm. So shout out Pastor Brian or Baird or whoever taught this to me like last year sometime. And this is probably ripped straight from you. But anyway, so we have 30 points that highlights Abraham's life. So if you can start with the first one and kind of just start going, and then the scripture is here. We can say this scripture just so you know exactly what we're referencing, but we're not going to turn to the scripture for all of these.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We just start with number one.
Abram heard God speak to him and give him a conditional covenant promise, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. This was the first time Abram heard the promise of God's word. First time.
Yep, so that's the first time.
Abram stepped out, but only in partial obedience because he did not leave his family, but took his father and nephew with him, even allowing his father to lead the expedition in Genesis 11, 31. They could not move on until Terah died.
All of these names are going to be horrendous.
Yeah, Genesis 11, 32. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran after Terah's death in Genesis 12, 4. God stated his covenant to Abram the second time.
Pause right there.
Genesis 12, 7.
So now, in Genesis 12, 7, we're at point 6 of 30. God has already stated the covenant to him twice. So God, that means faith is building right now. He's hearing about the government. He's hearing about the covenant twice. And remember, he's going to hear it much more. But that's how his faith is being built up right now. I guess you can look at it as the government.
Okay. Point 6. Abram displayed his doubt or lack of faith when he lied to Pharaoh about Sarai. I'm going to say Sarah because later her name is Sarah, but it's spelled S-A-R-A-I. Sorry. Sarah, his wife, and allowed her to go into Pharaoh's harem. Genesis 12, 10 through 19. God increased Abram according to his grace, even in spite of Abram's fear and doubt. Genesis 12, 16 through 20.
Let me stop right there.
Okay.
So his fear, which remember has the same definition as faith.
Mm-hmm.
So he was fearful. He was believing things, even though it's not seen. But remember, we're talking about Abraham or Abram's faith. I'm just saying, same thing. So at the end of this, his faith builds after he hears it stated to him 9 different times. And then, again, we're going to look at what God actually has to say about him by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Point 8. Abram finally parted company with Lot because their herds were too large to share the same pastures. Romans 13, 5 through 12. God spoke to Abram again, once he was more perfectly in obedience, having separated from his family in Genesis 13, 14 through 17. Here, God stated his covenant the third time. God pronounced blessing on Abram through Melchizedek after Abram showed courage in defeating the 4 kings who were at war with the 5 kings of Sidon. Sidon.
Don't know.
Genesis 14, 18 through 20.
Yeah. Keep going. Yeah, just keep on rocking.
All right. God spoke to Abram in a vision and stated the covenant a fourth time in response to Abram's doubt and complaint. Literally a vision and stated the covenant a fourth time.
I don't know about you, but that'd be building up my faith.
Yeah. Abram increased in faith and believed God in Genesis 15 through 6.
What happened to him?
He increased in faith and believed God.
Yep. And remember, he was in fear earlier. And fear and faith have the same definition. Mm-hmm. So he went from fear to faith.
Yeah.
And how did he go from fear to faith?
By what God was showing him and telling him.
By hearing the word of God.
God cut a blood covenant with Abram, prophesied to him about the 400-year captivity of his descendants in Egypt, their deliverance in the 4th generation, and finally stated his covenant with him a 5th time. Sarah expressed her doubt in God's word concerning the promise to her and suggested to Abram that they help poor old God out with their own plan. Abram willingly went along with Sarah's suggestion to sleep with Hagar in Genesis 16:4. Hagar began to despise her mistress who was not able to provide a son for Abram as she had done. Sarah blamed Abram in Genesis 16:5. Abram refused to accept responsibility. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born in Genesis 16:16. 13 years later, God spoke to Abram again at age 99 in Genesis 17:1. God stated his covenant with Abram the 6th time in Genesis 17:2 through 4. God changed Abram's name and required him to stay to say the same thing about himself that God had been saying all along. I am Abraham, the father of many nations. In Genesis 17:5-8.
Shout out to Abraham.
God gives the covenant sign of circumcision as part of the requirement of covenant in Genesis 17:9-14. We're almost done, y'all.
We're getting there.
God changed Sarai, or however you're supposed to say that name, to Sarah, showing that she is the princess through whom he intended to fulfill the covenant. Abraham laughed in doubt and unbelief that God would use Sarah, age 90, and himself, age 99. God corrected Abraham and said that the promise would not come through Ishmael, but through a new son named Isaac, which means laughter. God stated the covenant the seventh time. God appeared to Abraham as a man. This would be a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, along with two angels who later judged Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18:1-2. God stated his covenant with Abraham and Sarah the eighth time in Genesis 18:9-11. Sarah laughed in doubt and unbelief, but God stated the covenant the ninth time in Genesis 18:18-19. Abraham stumbled in his faith one more time and lied about Sarah being his sister only. She was his half-sister, but a half-lie is still a lie. Sarah was still desirable enough at age 90 to be taken into Abimelech's harem.
Nice.
Harem, however you say that. Finally, last point. God healed Sarah and she conceived. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born in Genesis 12:1-5.
Good job. Nice. So through all of that, even though it was basically the whole story of Abraham, we see that he actually heard about the covenant 9 different times. God spoke to him or showed him a vision. God communicated with him. The word of God came to him. And in doing so, his faith was built up. Over all of this time, his faith continued to get more sure of the things unseen. Even though it hadn't happened yet, he started to believe it. Remember, before he was walking in fear, because fear and faith have the same definition.
Yeah.
But through the word of God, through meditating on the word of God, he switched it to faith. He believed in the things that weren't true yet. He believed in the things not seen. So even though Abraham missed it, and even though Abraham made mistakes, his faith was built up by hearing the word of God.
Yes.
Do you have something you want to add there?
Yeah, so I just, when I was studying over this, I have a note here, because I kept getting reminded of the verse in Luke where Jesus says, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat. And first I was like, okay, what does sift mean? So I looked that up. And sifting is like the process where you, with wheat, where you like separate and isolate the purities, like what you're really wanting out of wheat, and the impurities. And basically, now that's a saying, like, sift you like wheat means to destroy, to isolate, to tear apart, to ruin. And let me just read the actual verse in Luke 22:31. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Mm-hmm. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers.
Nice.
So, like, you see this in the old covenant. He is, the way he's showing Abraham is patience. I mean, people talk about how God in the old covenant was so evil and like the flood and all this stuff. But throughout the entirety of the Bible, you can see that God is loving and patient with his children. The patience that he had with Abraham for 100 years to tell him over and over and over and over and over. And then finally, Abraham's like, oh, maybe I'm the father of many nations.
Right.
But God knows that faith comes by hearing. So he knew that the only way to get Abraham's faith to a point where he could understand the truth of it was to speak it to him and to talk to him over and over and show him over and over. And so now you see that in the new covenant as Jesus being our intercessor, that he's the high priest that sits at the right hand of God. And like we sing about, or we sing that song, Worthy of It All, and that the bridge is day and night, night and day, let incense arise. And what it's referring to is the incense that arises from the prayers of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus prays over that. And I just think that's so powerful that back then, even, you can see the position of an intercessor. And now Jesus is our intercessor. And not only does Jesus in heaven literally pray for us, like he was saying he prayed for Peter or for Simon, But his word is still speaking over us. That he sent us a book that's literally alive and speaking over us just like Jesus does. Like, this book just echoes everything that Jesus is praying for us.
Right.
And I think that that helps build my faith. That helps build me and encourage me, because I'm like, if I have Jesus who's praying over me at all times, then what can I not, like,
right.
I have the victory then.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is something, we're going to take a quick bunny trail. That is something that I've been seeing more and more and more with Christians, the church. I'm not saying Hope City Church, we're awesome. But the church is, it seems like people have a real lack of understanding that the victory is already won. We already walk in the victory.
Yes.
That Jesus already paid the price. And now it's kind of easy on our part, because all we have to do is believe and trust in him.
Yes.
And it's already done for us.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to go, what is the, well, I'm getting on a sidetrack, but there's a movie where this dude of a different faith, like, did something bad. So he starts, like, whipping himself on the back as, like, punishment to himself.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what, like, religion or denomination that is. So I didn't want to, like, call him out. But we don't have to do anything of that sort, because God already paid for it all.
Yeah.
All we have to do is hear his word, be like little children, come to God the Father like a child.
Yes.
And build up our faith by listening to him.
Yeah. And I also want to read this verse too in Hebrews. So Hebrews 7:22. This goes, like, right in what? Why are you laughing?
Reading that Adam Auden's comments that I'm trying to ignore. Shout out Adam.
He's not here. Okay, so this verse just goes really well with what you were just saying, and I actually wanted to touch on it later, but I'll go ahead. So it says in Hebrews 7:22, so much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. The former priests, on one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them.
Yes.
He always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Because this he did once for all when he offered up himself.
Yeah.
For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. And we are in Jesus, so we are in that. It sounds weird to say that we're perfect forever, but our spirit is. And we have the capability. Jesus literally came as an example of perfection on earth. So we actually have the capability of being that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just a matter of believing in what the word says.
Yep. It's a matter of having your faith built up for it, which comes from hearing, believing the word of God. So we're actually going to look back at what the Bible says about Abraham, after his life, after he went through all those things. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 16, and we're going to read down to verse 22. But this is talking about Abraham after the covenant was stated to him 9 different times. After his faith, I mean, he missed it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham missed it, but God doesn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God had to say about him because of his faith after the fact. So I'm going to read chapter 16. So Romans chapter 4, verse 16, not chapter 16. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are in faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. So will you read chapter 17 through 22, please?
As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the presence of him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, I love that, to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness.
Yeah. So that's a lot of scripture, but it's very powerful because we just talked about everything Abraham went through in life, all of his shortcomings, all of the times he believed in God, like his whole life.
Yeah.
And so after all of that, God saw Abram not as weak, but as strong in faith.
Yeah.
And he saw Abraham as giving God all the glory. He saw Abraham as being fully persuaded by the word of God. See, once you get into true position of faith, God actually forgets all that it took for you to get there. Once you finally align with God, once you get into true faith with his word, with what he wants for you, he actually forgets everything that it took for you to get there.
Yes.
We're going to look at a scripture in just 1 second, but God forgets your doubt and unbelief just like he forgets your sins once you become born again.
Yes.
I'm going to say that one more time.
That's so good.
God forgets your doubt and your unbelief just like he forgets all of your sins once you were born again. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I'm going to read it. But Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Transgressions, well, we're talking about sins and transgressions, but this means that God actually forgets all of your doubt and all of your unbelief, just like he forgets your sins once you are born again. Once you step into faith and truly start believing the word of God, you'll step into your God-inspired purpose of life here on earth. So we're talking all about why you need faith and how having faith unlocks your purpose here on earth. Well, once you step into faith and truly start believing the word of God, just like Abraham, you'll start to step into your God-inspired purpose in life here on earth.
Yes.
And the only way to do that is through faith.
Yeah.
And again, once you finally link up to faith where you're supposed to be, because remember, God is here the entire time, right? He doesn't change. I just realized because of where my notes are at, I'm like leaning around this page, but there's so much more screen next to me. So I guess I can kind of relax a little bit.
Relax.
But all you have to do is get into faith, and you need your faith built up through hearing the word of God. And when you do that, you can actually step into your God-designed purpose here on earth. And once you get into that purpose here on earth, God forgets, he blots out all of the doubt and unbelief that you had leading up to this point.
Yes. Amen. So good. That's so good.
I see you have a note written down.
Yeah, so...
is that what you just talked about a second ago?
No, so this is something else. So in Hebrews 6:13, I think that this whole... I think this whole passage here just kind of sums up the entirety of the message today. I'll just go ahead and read it. It's Hebrews 6:13. For when God made the promise to Abraham, as I was reading this, I knew that this verse was for today, but it was really kind of confusing. And I read it in like a bunch of different translations. And I was like, why is there not just a translation that says it like in any kind of normal language, like for me to understand? So I really like was praying and asking the Holy Spirit to show it to me in a way that I could understand. And I obviously don't have 100% understanding of it at this moment, but I think I kind of can help not dumb it down because y'all are smart, but make it more understandable and digestible. So back to it. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Pause for a second. That is just like sick. Like, you know, whenever we... we're like, oh yeah, I swear on my mom's grave. Or like, I swear on my great grandma. Well, we're not supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. Christians aren't supposed to do that. But people say that stuff. And God literally was like, well, I can't swear on anyone else because I'm the best. I'm the greatest. So I'll swear on myself. Like, that's just epic to me. So then he says, saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. And so having patiently waiting, he obtained the promise. Talking about Abraham. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. So, like when people are saying, like, oh no, bro, that never happened. I swear on my mom. That ends the dispute because they're like, oh, he swore on his mom. Like, he swore on his great grandma's dog's deathbed, and like, this thing really happened. So, they're saying that men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise of the unchangeableness of his purpose, and what is today unlocking hope and purpose, interposed an oath. So he interposed is like to put in there an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, and the two unchangeable things are the fact that he cannot lie. And when he says an oath, sorry to that person. that he cannot lie, and he cannot lie when he tells an oath, that he is bound by his own word. Are you smiling?
Yeah, I'm trying to just keep it together. Okay. Sorry if that was one of you calling the church. Call again in like 10 minutes.
It's probably just spam. Usually it's spam. Anyway.
Yeah, a lot of times you answer the phone, you're like, Hope City Church, how may I help you? And it's crickets, just dead air.
Yeah. Hopefully that was it. So, okay. Back together. So that by two unchangeable things, that he cannot break an oath and he cannot lie, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. So when I read that, I was like, that's kind of like a lengthy run-on sentence. Like, it was hard for me to understand. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. But then I saw it in this light, and I really, like, I love getting revelation because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, God is showing me something. Like, this is so cool. So I believe that this is saying, we who have taken refuge, so those of us who believe, who have taken refuge in God, would have strong encouragement that Jesus, this is what I was talking about earlier, the interceding, that back in Luke 22:31, he says, I pray that your faith would not fail, that he is always encouraging us, fortifying our faith, so that we would have strong encouragement from Jesus to take hold of the hope set before us. Mm-hmm. That is so amazing. Like, the process and the, like, mechanism of the kingdom and the way everything moves and the gears shifting and everything, all is seamless because God is just a genius, and he makes everything so purposeful and so with such intention that it all works and it all makes sense. So you have Jesus who's interceding for us and helping us and encouraging us, and then that helps us take hold of the hope that's set before us. That is awesome. And then the last two scriptures of this little paragraph says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, which our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil that Jesus tore whenever he was resurrected, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So our hope goes beyond. Why do you try not to laugh?
Sorry, I'm thinking about how I panicked and picked up that phone and just slammed it on whoever called the church, and I'm
gonna answer in front of everyone.
Sure, but all they heard was like as I slammed it. Sorry,
it's okay.
Anyway,
it's okay. They'll call back if it's important. So, where Jesus has entered as a, I love this too, and God kind of gave me this. I don't know if it's a memory or like just a visualization. But have you ever been working at like a restaurant or just helping like clean off tables or something, and you're like cleaning tables and you get to one and you're like, oh, this one's pretty clean. You go to the next one. This one's clean too. What the? And then you look up and one of your coworkers or someone else has already cleaned like all of them. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, they did all the work for me. They were a forerunner of cleaning the table. So now I don't have to. And that's kind of what you were saying earlier. Like, yes, there are tribulations in this world, but God in Jesus made it so easy for us that all we have to do is have faith in him and believe, because he's a forerunner. Jesus already defeated everything, guys. Like, he defeated everything. So then all we do is we just sit here in peace and joy and all the fruits of the Spirit, and we obey Him and we operate in faith, because it you have to have faith to please the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then that's what unlocks your hope and purpose. And I just think that's so good, that that last verse. I'm going to meditate over that for a while, because I think that there's so much to that, and it's so important that He promised us, that He made an oath and swore by it, by His own name. Mm-hmm. I think in our like freedom conference, you're trying not to laugh. It's not working. Is it that funny?
It's like one of those when you're sitting in service and someone looks at you wrong, and now you're like, it's fine. I'm good.
What was I going to say?
You're saying some really good things, is what you were saying.
Dang it, I really actually forgot what I was saying.
We just go back. We can rewind.
That's okay. I just think that in our Freedom Conference promo video, actually, Pastor Tracy Harris, I think, said something to this where he said, like, he swore by his own name, which means he has a reputation to uphold. I watched that like a million times, so I feel like I have that memorized. But he says something like that because the name of God, the name of Jesus, is the name above all names. Mm-hmm. That's why he couldn't swear on any name other than his own. And he made a promise. He made an oath to us, and he cannot lie. He is not a man who should lie. And so he's given us a hope, and he's encouraging us on the throne. Like in heaven, he's interceding for us and encouraging us. And with that, let's see, that is a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. That is so great. I just can't get over this. Like, it's alive to me because I saw it in such a different light. And sometimes people like at church, they'll like be like, can't you guys see this? And I'm like, no, not at all. So if you're in that,
see what?
If you're in that position, you don't really understand, then I'm sorry. And I'll pray that you get this revelation. But like, this is just so good.
Yeah, you suck. No.
You have no faith.
Just kidding.
No, this was been really good. And I think that when I was reading over the notes and the story of Abraham and all that, I think is, although it was kind of lengthy, I think it really shows God's faithfulness.
Right.
And what happens when we hear and hear and hear and hear the word of God?
Yeah, absolutely. And because I love you, we love you. I could have just read the entire story of Abraham. You got the cliff notes, spark notes?
Spark notes, spark both notes, I think apply.
The cliff of the spark of the notes. So yes, I'm sorry it was kind of lengthy, but it's so important because through all of that and what Emily just shared, you see the importance of faith and how you actually get into faith. Not only do you get into faith, but by doing so, you unlock your purpose of this life,
mm-hmm.
which is so cool.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's all I have for today. Do you have anything else?
Nope, that was it.
Amen. This has been Hope for You. Sorry to ever called and I hung up on you. I can't get over that because now it's always going to be on YouTube.
Oh my God.
My panic just going.
Someone will watch it one day and be like, that was me.
I hope you got something. Hope you learned something. Hope you took something away.
They did.
The air conditioning is kicked on about 4 times. And it feels amazing to me. I wonder if you can hear it. Let me know if you can hear it. Anyway.
Can I pray over what we said?
I'd love if you did.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for this message, for this teaching that has gone forth. We thank you, Lord, that the revelation of faith and what it takes to honor you in such a way that faith comes to us, to hear the word of God, to study the word of God, to meditate over the word of God, and to be so hungry for you, Lord, that faith would come to us in a way that we've never experienced, that we would see faith from a different perspective, from a different aspect, a different way, that it would become more alive to us.
Yes.
And that it would help us in unlocking hope, that would help us also to unlock purpose, that when we understand the hope of God and the hope that's set before us, then that helps us reach into our future with our imagination and to unlock our purpose in our future. So, Lord, we just thank you for those that are listening. We thank you that this is sealed by the blood of Jesus and that the enemy cannot come and take what has been taught, take what has been planted in the people who have heard this and will hear this. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence and for you and everything that you've taught us
yeah.
today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This has been Hope for You. Thank you so much for listening and watching today. I hope you enjoyed the Hope for You ASMR.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we love you guys. Tomorrow, Pastor John and Shanti again are out of town. They're at a conference right now. But tomorrow and Thursday, we have Apostles Dale and Dana on Hope for You. I have not a clue what they're talking about. I have not a clue what they're planning or the Holy Spirit's planning.
It's going to be good.
But it's going to be good. So I'm about to sneeze. Oh, gosh. So we'll see you tomorrow. Bless and we'll be in the comments tomorrow. You're going to see Apostles Dale and Dana tomorrow. And we love you.
Yes.
And I'm about to sneeze. Bless you. Thanks.
We love you guys. We will see you tomorrow at noon.
Bye.